Good morning, I'm Femi OK, in a week with John Hockenberry. And all this week, the takeaway is getting together some mini roundtable discussions. So we'll be looking at how different groups of Americans will be affected by healthcare reform. So later this week, we'll be checking in with young people, the chronically ill, small business owners, and Americans living abroad.
You know, people are doing this all over the country in the midst of this debate.
Individual
conversations around tables. And we just talked with Dr. Kevin Poe, says that with his patients, he's suddenly discussing these issues, which is a great positive sign.
We have a little medical team that we've collected together this morning, and we're talking to pretty much the most important group of all, doctors. Dr. Kevin Poe, you heard him a little bit earlier, is a primary care physician in Nashua, New Hampshire. He also blogs at kevinmd.com. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
Dr. Charles Prestigiacomo is Associate Professor of Neurosurgery at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. Let me practice my bedside morning. How are you doing this morning, Doctor?
Good morning. Doing very well, and thank you for the invitation this morning.
You're very welcome. And Dr. Thais Gaines-Reed is currently in her third year as an emergency care resident at Yale New Haven Hospital in New Haven, Connecticut. Good morning to you, Dr. Thais.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome all. First of all, medical team, I want to play you a little scene from John Q, the movie.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Listen, all right, wait, listen, everybody. All right, hey, the hospital's under new management now. Yeah. Yeah, from now on, free health care for everybody. How's that?
Oh, righteous, man.
Dr. Thais Gaines-Reed, free healthcare for everybody from the ER of John Q, the movie. Now, Denzel Washington was taking hostages there. I'm hoping that we don't have to go this far for our healthcare debate. But you've read both bills. What do you like in them?
From the perspective of an emergency medicine physician, what I like is the fact that it's allowing all people in America to basically have coverage. I mean, we are on the front lines seeing patients who are coming to us instead of their primary care physicians because they can't get in to see them because they don't have insurance, or actually the consequences of not being able to afford their medications and the catastrophes that happen because of that. So I'm most excited about the fact that everyone is going to get covered by this.
But Dr. Thais, how would that change you being a primary care physician? What in the bill says that there will be fewer people going to emergency rooms to see someone like you and more people going to visit Dr. Kevin Poe, who is an actual primary care physician, before it ends up as an emergency?
Very good question. I mean, I don't think that there's anything that necessarily says, okay, less people or fewer people are going to go to the emergency department. However, the fact that the bills are stressing the need and the importance of preventive care, and the fact that physicians will potentially get reimbursed more for doing preventive care, hopefully preventing people from getting to the extremes of disease the way that we see them, it's nothing concrete, but it's hopeful that maybe there will be more of a shift toward primary care and preventive care before getting to the point at which I see them.
Let me just bring back in Dr. Poe. You're a primary care physician. Do patients understand the reform options accurately? Do you understand them even?
Well, there are a lot of competing proposals out there, and I think there's a lot of communication issues. And I think that fact stems from there is no final bill yet. There are 4 to 5 competing bills, and a lot of the details are changing on a daily basis. So I think there's a lot of confusion, and I have to clear up a lot of misperceptions and clear up some factual inconsistencies that patients bring up. And until that there's a final bill, and I don't anticipate that happening for another 1 to 2 months, I think that confusion is going to continue.
So, Dr. Poe, you're in Nashua, New Hampshire. What difference will reform actually make to your patients, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, as Dr. Thais mentioned earlier, there is sentiment that everyone needs to be covered, and I think that that's very, very important. But I think that there's a lot of fear among the people who are insured as to how it's going to affect them. Is it going to affect the doctors I'm able to see? Is it going to affect the tests that I'm able to get or not? But then on the flip side, I think there's a lot of fear of the people who are without insurance or are soon to be unemployed and without insurance, and there's a fear of the status quo. So I think on both sides, there's a lot of apprehension about upcoming reform.
So two voices from the front lines, Kevin Poe, primary care physician, and Dr. Thais Gaines-Reed, an emergency room resident. Dr. Charles Prestigiacomo, associate professor of neurosurgery, you are the voice of the specialist in this. Where do you stand on the healthcare debate? And does this talk about preventive care and greater reimbursement and full coverage make you a little nervous?
Hi. No, I don't think that it makes me nervous. I think the biggest point that was already brought up by Dr. Poe and Dr. Gaines-Reed is simply that there's still a lot to learn from this bill. And I think that the biggest issue that faces specialists is that as much as there is a shortage in primary care and primary care surgery, there is some shortage in a lot of the specialties. And this bill really hasn't addressed those issues as well.
So when you say, so does that mean that that there are constituencies within healthcare, within the medical world, where specialists are sort of at odds with primary care physicians and ER physicians?
I don't think that they're at odds. I think that everybody, every physician feels and believes that the healthcare system as it presently stands is not at its best. There's still 50 million uninsured in this country, and everybody wants and believes that all should be insured. The question that remains is how to best do this, and I don't think that the details of this bill have been adequately studied to make sure that, number one, you cover all of the 50 million uninsured, which this bill, I believe, fails to do, nor does it address the underinsured. And it doesn't really address what's going to happen 2 years from now when these rates are set and it's unclear what's going to happen from there.
Let me go around our virtual round table with all of our medical team and ask you what you think is most broken about our healthcare system. Dr. Gaines-Reed, you start.
I think there's so much that's broken. I guess that the biggest thing, like I said, from my perspective, is how many people are not covered and how many people have coverage, and it just does not cover all that they need. I mean, I know this from both sides, both as a patient side and as a clinician prior to becoming a resident. I was under, like the individual self-employed insurance and was underinsured, and at one point had to come out of pocket almost $12,000 just related to the birth of my son. So I know from both sides, how it can break you. And, you know, financially, we're talking about the working class. We're talking about people who do have a job and, you know, took whatever plan was offered to them or found individual health insurance because they're self-employed, and they're still, you know, having to fork out thousands and thousands of dollars to, you know, have health care, like to receive health care. So I think that that's the biggest thing, having an option that is affordable for everyone, not just people who are below the poverty level and not just people who are elderly, but people who are our workforce in this country. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I think is broken about the system.
Dr. Kevin Poe, primary care physician in Nashua, New Hampshire, what's most broken about the healthcare system?
I think it's a failure to address the primary care shortage. I think universal coverage is great, and I definitely believe that every American should have access to affordable health care. But if you don't have enough doctors to see them, what's the point of having health insurance? And I think a great example of this is what you see in Massachusetts, which is what a lot of the bills in Congress are trying to emulate. In Massachusetts, 97% of its residents have health insurance, which is a great number. But if you look at the waiting times for them to see a primary care doctor, it ranges from 30 to 60 days. And when you have patients waiting that long for routine issues, they're going to invariably find themselves in Dr. Gaines-Reed's emergency rooms, where costs of treating patients can be up to 10 times higher than in an office visit. So costs are not going to be controlled if you don't have enough primary care doctors to see these patients. And if you can't fiscally sustain universal coverage, which Massachusetts is having trouble with, they're cutting health benefits to 30,000 legal immigrants and cutting funding to inner-city hospitals that serve the poor, they're going to find that universal coverage is going to be very difficult to sustain. So I think universal coverage is of paramount importance, but the shortage of primary care doctors and the need to address that is of equal importance.
Dr. Prestigiacomo, you are going to have the last word in the last few seconds. What is your priority to fix in our healthcare system?
I think the biggest problem and the reason why, in part, the costs are so high for health care is liability. And so I think that liability protection and liability reform are very, very important in our health care system. And this bill, unfortunately, fails to address that as one of the main points for the future of health care in the United States.
Thank you to our medical team. You've just been listening to our three doctors, Dr. Kevin Poe, primary care health physician in New Hampshire. Charles Prestigiacomo is a neurosurgeon and associate professor at the University of Medicine and Dentistry of New Jersey. And Dr. Tyrese Gaines-Reed is currently in her third year as an emergency care resident at Yale New Haven Hospital. Thank you, medical team, for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.